بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل متاع الدنيا قليل والآخرة خير لمن اتقى ولا تظلمون فتيلا صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله وفضل الكرم of الله سبحانه وتعالى we've gathered here and once again we have to renew our intention our niyat should be solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala must become pleased with us. Our sitting here should be for no other motive but to please Allah Rabbul Izzah, to understand what Allah ta'ala expects of us, to understand Quran, Hadith, the Sunnah, the Ahkamat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that we may polish our heart, we may cleanse and purify our heart and abstain from all sins and understand our maqsad and object in this world, that we are living this world for a short period of time, and our ultimate abode is the Akhirat. Hazrat Maulana Zulfiqar Sahab Namat Barakatu mentions that man does not come into this world by his own will, and neither will he leave by his own will. So every person who came into this world did not come on his or her own will. It was decision of Allah Rabbul Izzat. It was a faisla of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala had destined when the person will come into this world, where, in which country he will be born, who will be his parents. And Allah ta'ala has destined exactly when the person will pass away, where he will pass away. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. No soul knows in which land its ruh will be taken away. No person knows where he will pass away. So man does not come into this world on his own will. Neither will he leave on his own will. Hence he has no right to pass the time between life and death according to his own will. This is logical. We have not come into this world with our own will. Neither will we leave this world with our own will. So the time that we will live in this world, it is an amanat from Allah Rabbul Izzat. And because it is an amanat from Allah Rabbul Izzat, then we do not have the permission to live according to our own will. So we came on the hukum of Allah, we leave on the hukum of Allah, and we will follow the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Success lies only in obedience to Allah ta'ala's wishes. So in this world, we cannot live according to our own will. We have to live according to the desires of Allah Rabbul Izzat, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose of living is servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the purpose of life is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose of living is to make the bandagi of Allah Rabbul Izzat, to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the servitude of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the ma'bud. He is being worshipped. And we are all the abids of Allah Rabbul Izzat. We are serving Allah. We are worshipping Allah. We are following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the purpose of life is the remembrance of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Every second and every day of our life, a person has to be a dhakir. In other words, his life must be in accordance to the command and dictates of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not mean the entire day making dhikr of the tongue, no. Kullu muti'in lillah fahuwa dhakiru. Every person who is making the ibadat, the ita'at of Allah Rabbul Izzat, fahuwa dhakirun, he is a dhakir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has made it equally possible for both men and women to draw closer to Him. It's not only for the men to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only they've got the opportunity. No. Equally, men and women have the ability and it's equally possible for both to draw closer to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies in adherence to the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who succeed in implementing the sharia in their lives will definitely be drawn closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an essential path to tread. If one truly desires closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We always say, we want to become qareeb to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Ya Allah, make me a muqarrab banda. Allah, make me close to you. Give me that bond with you. Give me that connection with you. How is it possible? Only if that person who holds onto the ahkamat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who treads this path of Quran, Hadith, Sunnah, Shariat, and he has that sole intention to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has specified duties for both men and women. And all of us have to live our lives in this world according to Allah ta'ala's will and Allah's law. This world is temporary and will fade, whereas the hereafter is eternal. Now these are lessons that we all have heard again and again. We know about it. We have iman. We have yaqeen. But our actions are contrary to this. Our actions are contrary. And we become so immersed and so engrossed in this dunya, which is temporary, that we actually forget the akhirat. Well, now and then we remember akhirat. When some musibat falls, then we remember akhirat. Somebody passes away, then we remember a little bit. Otherwise, our daily actions have become such that it is as though we don't believe in an akhirat. Ma'adallah. We are believers, we believe. وَبِالْ آخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ We have certitude in the existence of the akhirat. The akhirat is going to take place on the occurrence of Allah, of the akhirat. So, this world is temporary and will fade, whereas the hereafter is eternal. A wise sage, Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi, who once advised, and he said, that man should work hard for this world, proportionate to how long he is going to live here. And likewise, he should work hard for the hereafter, proportionate to how long he will live there. It's a logical statement, something easy to understand. How long you could live in this world, works so hard for the duration of time. And for how long you live in the hereafter, work hard for that duration of time. So we can do the calculations. We don't need a calculator for this. We can live here in the hereafter forever and ever. So imagine the effort we have to make for the hereafter as compared to this life of dunya, which is temporary. It's a couple of years, couple of months, couple of days. It's a very short time. It's a very short time compared to the hereafter. In one hadith of Rasulullah, we digress a bit. In one hadith of Rasulullah, he explained the period of time of the akhirat compared to this dunya, or the period a person lives in this dunya compared to the akhirat. And he gave a beautiful example. Rasulullah said, "Mad dunya fil akhirah," the comparison, the duration of time a person lives in this world and the number of years this world has compared to the hereafter is just like one of you takes his finger, pushes it, dips it into the ocean and then removes it. That tiny droplet of water, that is dunya, and the whole ocean, that's akhirat. Now that is such an easy, beautiful example to understand. So people who live in this world, generally, the ummah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes in hadith between 60 to 70 years. That's a general lifespan. People go beyond that. But you find 100 years. Very few go beyond 100 years. Whereas in the hereafter, they will live forever. And then Hazrat Mawlana explains, he says, if all the empty space between the earth and the sky, the vacuum that we see, empty space, the earth to the sky, if this entire empty space has to be filled with grain, heaps of grain, mountains of grain, the entire area between the earth and the sky is now filled with grain, completely. And then we find that a bird comes and it takes one grain once in 1,000 years. Comes and takes just one grain, and the next time it comes is after 1,000 years. Then it comes with the third grain after another 1,000 years. So every after 1,000 years it comes. He says, the life of the hereafter would still be longer than the time it would take to finish all the grain. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years it will take this bird to come and pick all the grain that has filled the earth to the sky. We cannot even imagine and calculate that amount of years. Still, once all the grain has been devoured and taken away by the bird, all the duration of time and all those years is nothing equivalent to the hereafter, because the hereafter is everlasting. The life of this world is but a fleeting minute compared to the life of the hereafter. And the Mufassireen have written that one day in the hereafter will be equivalent to 50,000 days of this worldly life. It is indeed unfortunate that man is willing to exchange a few minutes of enjoyment for everlasting pain and suffering. It is a few minutes of enjoyment a person gets in making some ma'asiyat. He's drinking alcohol or taking drugs or viewing some pornographic material. He's casting lustful glances at a woman, whatever it is. That few minutes he gets some type of enjoyment. But he does not realize, because of that few minutes, a few seconds of enjoyment, he has to bear everlasting punishment of Jahannam. Paradise, Jannat, is the home for the pious. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. So the home, the abode for the pious is Jannat. Man is just a guest. He's a mehman in this world for a few days. No mehman comes to a house and lives for months. He comes 2-3 days and he's gone. It seems that man is merely a passenger on the conveyor belt of life, where he passes through the stages of birth, youth, adulthood, and finally mort. Just as a traveler may stay in transit in one or several towns on the way to his final destination, the believers are also in transit in this life, but their final destination is much greater. So we are all musafir. كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ وَعَابِرُ سَبِيلٌ. We all are musafir. And the journey has already begun. The moment we came into this world, our journey started. So many of us have passed a few stations of this journey. And our final journey is Akhirat. There are those who only had just the beginning stage of birth and they passed away. Some and beyond that, in their youth, they passed away. Somebody just beyond that. So each person has to go through a few stations of life, and our final abode is Akhirat, Jannat. One can find numerous people who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam, but no one can deny maut. People may not believe in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala save us. People may argue about this and that, but nobody can deny maut, because even the disbeliever sees somebody passing away in front of him. So everybody believes in maut. Death is the absolute reality that comes to everyone, regardless of age, color, race. The greatest rulers, the statesmen, the warriors have and will continue to succumb to death, as is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, innaka mayyitun wa innahum mayyitun wa ma muhammadun illa rasul qad khalat min qablihi rusul. So various ayat, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every single Nabi has to pass away also, has to taste death. Even the ummats have to pass away. So every single person has to experience maut. A king wanted to build a great palace for which he spared no expense and made available all his treasures. Anything that did not suit his fancy in the slightest, he had torn down and built again. He had the money. Many people build mansions, not happy with this. Or rather say the queen is not happy with this and that. And he keeps on changing. Alterations, amendments. So it continues. He had a lot of money. So he did according to how he wished the palace to look. Finally, he was convinced the palace had no shortcomings and was the greatest palace ever built. Overflowing with pride at his beautiful palace, he should admire his palace. And the king announced throughout his kingdom that he would reward anyone. He would reward anyone who could point out a flaw in his new abode. All who would visit could not see any shortcoming in the beautiful building. Architects came and engineers and everybody admired this beautiful building of the king, the palace. So all who would visit could not see any shortcoming in the beautiful building. Not that anyone would even dare to point it out to the king. People kept coming and going for the next few days until a very old man came. A very pious servant of Allah Ta'ala, he came. He was passing by and people told him what the king had built and what his decree was. So after coming there, visiting the palace and serving the palace, he came before the king and he said, "Your Majesty, I have found two flaws." Flaws, F-L-A-W-S. Not the flaws the person walks on. "I have found two flaws in your palace." The king was taken aback. The old man, he could find something, some flaws that nobody else could find. He asked, "What are these flaws?" The wise man said, "Your Majesty, one flaw is that this palace will not stand forever. This palace you have built, no matter how beautiful and mighty it is, it will never remain forever. And the second is that you cannot live in this palace forever, for all of us will have to die one day. So the palace won't even remain forever, neither will you remain forever." So no matter what high hopes a person has in this world, no matter how many beautiful houses and cars he has, he will have to leave everything behind one day. And it boggles the person, this person's mind, and wonder sometime that he's got so many treasures, and he's got so many investments, and so many properties, and such huge palaces. Doesn't he realize that one day moth will come? And when moth come, what happens? That king and that president leaves behind every single thing. Then people write, "He died, or he had a very simple burial." That is the reality. And Sikandar the Great, before passing away, he had made wasiyah that his hands may be put out of the qabr so people will see that Sikandar left this world empty-handed. He took not even a penny with him. Not even a penny. And immediately when that happens, there's turmoil and people are fighting. The heirs are fighting for the inheritance and for position. That time nobody even thinks about that ruler or the great person or the father or the rich wealthy person. Nobody even sends some sawab for him even. Nobody bothers. Everybody now is fighting. And the next man does the same also. And he also builds his empire. And he also has riches. He does the same and he leaves this world empty handed. When are we going to take ibrat? When do we take lesson? We may not have that amount of wealth. But whatever little wealth we have, we do the same thing. And we will make such investments that our not great grandchildren, maybe their great grandchildren will have. But that poor father makes all the mehnat. And as he's becoming old, the same sons and the same family, they don't want to see him. He had built up the whole business. It was his. He started off the business. And he made all the mehnat in that time. And he used to feed his family. And today when it's a mighty, prosperous, thriving business, they're the same sons. They chase the father away. So Allah Ta'ala save us. These are all simple lessons showing to us reality, haqiqat of dunya. So no matter what high hopes a person has in this world, and no matter how many beautiful houses and cars he has, he will have to leave everything behind one day. Rasulullah said, "Be in this world as if you are a stranger." In fact, one who is a wayfarer, passerby. A stranger comes into a town, and after a couple of days, he begins to become familiar, acquainted with his surroundings. A few days ago, he was a stranger, but now he knows the masjid, he knows the town, he knows how to catch the bus, etc. But a person who is just being passed, he hardly has any time to spend, he has no time to look and admire at any building or any road, or even remember the names, he just stops for a few seconds and he's gone. That is how we should be in this dunya. There are three bellies. Man started his journey From the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala created us. Allah ta'ala created us. So we started our journey from the time Allah ta'ala created us, but we stayed in the belly, in the womb of the mother. A short time, 9 months. After this, man lives in the belly between the earth and the sky. And finally, he retires to the earth's belly, that is his qabr. From here, man will be raised on the day of Qiyamah for hisab, kitab, accounting. And based on whether he has been pious or rebellious, he will enter paradise or hell. Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah grant all of us Jannatul Firdaus. The examination in the grave. Man has been sent into this world to prepare for an examination. There is two parts. Rasulullah has told us in the hadith, the first part will be taken in the grave. First part of the examination is there. And this examination consists of 3 questions and have to be answered correctly in order to pass. If anybody is asked these 3 questions, all of us know the questions now. All of us even know the answer well. And we can rattle it off. So somebody might think, I know this question, I know the answers. So what's this so difficult for me in the qabr? No. The first question will be, Man Rabbuk? Who is your creator? Second is, Ma deenuk? What is your deen? Third question, Man hadha rajul? Who is this? Pointing to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One will have to answer all these 3 questions. One will have to answer rather than keeping silent. And if any one of these 3 we do not get correct, any one of these 3 answers incorrect, we have failed the entire exam. Any one of the 3, we fail, we don't get correct, we fail the entire exam. It is another blessing and mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi upon his ummah that he gave us the answers to this test before time and he warned us of this examination so that we can prepare. Now which student who is given the question beforehand and even the model answer and still doesn't prepare, what would we say? He's such a foolish person. We don't have to buy this examination paper. You don't have to look for any leaks. You don't have to go and ask and bribe. And there's no corruption involved. Allah Ta'ala has made it such. Through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah gave us these 3 questions. And Allah provided the correct answers to us. So we know the questions, we know the answers. But let us not leave it in a book form and just read about it or talk about it. It has to come into our lives. And only if it is part and parcel of our life, then and only then will we be able to answer those questions correctly. Otherwise the person is stuck. He'll remain silent, he may remain dumb, he won't know what to say. It may seem it's such an easy thing. Just 3 questions, no. And that is why we have been exhorted in Shariat, in the Hadith of Rasulullah, after we bury the person, Allahumma thabbitu, make dua for him. Allahumma thabbitu, Allah give him thabit qadmi, because the angels are now questioning him. The problem is we don't know about these things, we don't bother to understand, and when we go to the Qabristan, we are busy doing our own dunya talks. Futile talks. Even in the place of Qabristan, where a person should be now pondering over mawt, even at that time, and that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned it, Al-haakumu takathur, hatta zurtumul maqabir. Even when you visit the Qabristan, then too, your wealth has made you ghafil of Allah. Right at that moment, it's your own family member or a friend you're burying also. That time too, you worry about your cell phone. At least one place leave your cell phone behind, or don't take it to the Qabristan. There too we find people are busy chatting, laughing, giggling, meeting. So that is the first examination. Only the person who lives according to Allah Ta'ala's commands and adheres to the Sunnah of Rasulullah will be able to answer the questions in the grave. And not the rebellious and arrogant who usurp others' rights. Only the righteous people, the pious, will even open, they will only have the courage to give the answers. Others will remain silent. The graves of those who answer correctly and pass this first examination
will expand as far as the eyes can see and become gardens of paradise. Consequently, the graves of those who fail will constrict and become pits of hell. So then Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, the third Khalifa of Islam, Dhun Nurain, he married two daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not together. After the first one passed away, then he married the second one, and Rasulullah said, if I had even more daughters, I would give an Uthman. He's so much of haya in him, modesty. He's a son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whole Quran he should recite in one night. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala was given Basharat of Jannat in this world, not once, so many times. On so many occasions, Basharat of Jannat. Despite all that, can you imagine? If somebody tells us, we have passed your accounting test, or your test for becoming a doctor, or whatever test, or examination, your metric, you have passed, you've got, how they have about 10 A's, I think. You've got 10 A's. You pass guaranteed, even before writing. You are guaranteed you've got 100% pass. You think he'll study? He won't study. He'll relax. He'll be happy. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, despite being given glad tidings, basharat by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of Jannah, he would cry at the qabr. The hadith says, "Hatta tabulla lihyatuhu," his beard would become soaked with his tears. So much he used to cry. Somebody asked Uthman, what's the matter? Jannah, Jahannam, you're really not crying so much. Like how you're crying here with the qabr, what's the problem? He said, innahu awwalu manzilin min manazilil akhirah. This is the first stage of the stages of the akhirat. This is the first station. Whoever passes here will pass the remaining stations. Whoever fails here, there's no chance of him passing elsewhere. There's no chance of him passing the remaining stations. You pass in the qabr, there's great hopes you'll pass now. Hashar, Qiyamat, and you'll pass. You fail here, how are you going to cross Pul-Sirat? What will you do when your amal will be weighed? You give all the wrong answers. There's no chance of you now passing in the other stages. Allah Ta'ala save us. So therefore there are two paths. The one who fails the first examination, then he is in a serious problem. Mankind's second exam, after the qabr, man will be raised in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah to face his next and final exam that will pose four questions on that day. Some hadiths have got five things mentioned. The first question asked of man will be, Mada amilta bima alimta. How much of amal did you do in accordance to the knowledge you received, you attained? Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of studying ilm. First ball, we are bowled out. So as to say, imagine, what a serious question. By Allah Ta'ala will say, I give you so much of knowledge. You had understanding of Quran, Hadith, Fiqh, and so many things. Or whatever knowledge we have attained in our lives. How much amal did you make? Second question, how did you spend your life? Third question, details regarding the source of man's income and how did he spend it? So the first question, or the one of the question is, how did a man spend his life? And one summary, why God, how did you spend your youth? Your youth, how did you spend your youth? And how did you spend your life in this world? The money that you receive, your income, was it of halal or haram? How did you spend that wealth? So this is the question Allah Ta'ala will ask us. It is mentioned in hadith that man's feet will not move from where he was raised on the day of Qiyamah until he answers these questions. Man will not be able to move until he has answered these questions. The Muslims are fortunate that Rasulullah SAW made us aware of not only this question, but even the answers. So we are able to prepare before that day of Qiyamah. The time of maut, these concepts are easy to understand, but can only be applied if a person's inner being is awakened. If this ruh is alive. If a person blindfolds himself unless his desires control him, he blindfolds himself, and he allows his desires to control him, he will do as he pleases and be lost, just as majority of the people are lost today. Allah Ta'ala forgive us, Allah protect us, Allah give us a strong iman, Allah make us live with iman and die with iman, Allah raise us on the day of Qiyamah with iman. Those who have not got iman, just look at their lives. What type of lives they are living? There is no Allah Ta'ala in their life. So they will eat as they wish, they will drink, they will make merry, they will sleep with who they want, they will have pleasure, entertainment. That is a way of life. And the life of a believer is of taqwa, piety, purity of the heart, qalbi salim, taharat of the heart, taharat of the body. He's got a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's got inner satisfaction, contentment, enjoyment, which those people don't have. They don't have that. And that is why they commit suicide. Despite the mighty kingdom they have, they still commit suicide. Despite all the glamour and outward luxury they have, they still have to take sleeping tablets. They are parishan. Seriously, they are parishan. And that is why when Allah gives many of them hidayat, and when they just come into deen, they make such a change in their lives that they surpass us who were born in Muslim homes and we grew up with iman. They surpass us because they realize that type of life they lived was a morbid, filthy life that gave them no peace of mind. In front of the people in the crowd, the actor will perform to his best and you think, oh, what a beautiful life he's got. What a glamorous life he's got. The moment he goes backstage, he goes into his dressing room and then see his life there. So Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah has given us this pure life. Enjoy this deen and pass it on to the others. So these concepts are easy. So if a person blindfolds himself and lets his desires control him, he will do as he pleases. When the time for ibadat, for salat approaches, both men and women fail to seize the moment and procrastinate because they remain in the delusion that they have long lives ahead of them to practice their Islam. Let us be honest, if we had not, we didn't have such a thing as masjid and adhan, would we read salat? We would also delay our salat. Allah's fazl, we have masajid, we have adhan, we have namaz ul jamaat. So at least we've got a time, and it prompts us, it's namaz time now, I've got to go for salat. Otherwise, we just delay, we procrastinate. Women folk also, many women, they'll delay their salat right till the end. They will chat right through, and right at the end, we'll just hurry and read the namaz. So people are all deceived. It's a delusion. We think that we have so much of time and later on in life we'll become nek, pious, salih, we'll make our ibadat, we'll perform our salat. They wrongly assume and take for granted that they have years of growing up followed by marriage and finally old age. All this is a serious delusion because maut comes to young and old alike and come at any instant. Many times parents outlive the young children because the child's time of maut had arrived. Nobody knows when the time of death will come. So it is important to be prepared for maut at all times. And for this reason, our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali should say, Ya Allah, don't let our maut come to us in rave clubs. Or whilst popping a pill or drug, taking drugs. Or in the gambling den. Or while listening to music or haram. Or in zina or fornication. Allah protect us. And what dua I used to make? Ya Allah, give me such a maut that my ruh jumti hui comes happily towards you in the condition that you are most pleased. And therefore Rasulullah has mentioned, who is the most intelligent person? Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. You want to know who's intelligent? Not the person who got all the degrees of this world. No. Einstein was not the most intelligent person. The most intelligent person is that person who suppresses his desires and he prepares for the hereafter. So such people who prepare for their death are the wisest and also the most fortunate, because they will achieve the highest success in the hereafter. Mankind should not leave for tomorrow what can be done today, because there may not be a tomorrow. Moreover, he should focus on pleasing his Allah so that his sins may be washed away and he may be included amongst Allah Ta'ala's special people on the day of Qiyamah. A king had a large garden. Very beautiful example. I think we'll just terminate after that. A king had a large garden divided into different sections, laden with fruit. So he's got this huge garden, different sections, fruit. Once he summoned a man, gave him a basket, instructing him to go through each section of the garden and bring back the best fruit. The king continued and he said that he would reward this man, but he set a very strict condition with this. If you go into this garden, there are a few sections, go through each section and you must come out with the best fruit. And you'll be rewarded. And the king said, the condition is, upon passing through any section, once you go past the section, you can't come back. So once you exit a section, there's no entry. You can't come back. You got to go to the next section. And you continue this that way. So the man thus took the basket, entered the first section of the garden. He saw beautiful fruit and desired to pick some. He saw different fruit there. And as he was about to pick some, he thought that he should wait until the next section, because there may be better fruit in the next section. He thus entered the second section and seeing even more beautiful fruit, thought that he should pick some again. But again he felt the next section would have even better fruit. Likewise, the third section had even more better fruit. Yet again the man thought he should wait until he reached the fourth section, because he wanted to fill his basket with the best fruit. So he passed all these sections, can't go back, no return. He goes in the fourth section. When he reached the final section of the garden, he was shocked to see that the trees of this section were bare of fruit. He stood with his empty basket weeping in retrospect that he should have picked from the previous sections had he known. So now his basket would not have been empty. The example is the same for the Muslim's life. Each day is a section from a beautiful garden. Each day is a section of this beautiful garden. And there's fruit that we should pick up. What is this fruit? This is nek amal, righteous deeds. However, he foolishly delays this, deluded into thinking he has got another section of life and then he'll do better deeds. Leave it for then. Soon death comes whilst he is still in the delusion of tomorrow, tomorrow, and thus he meets death empty-handed. There will be no delay in the time of death. And now that he realizes his misfortune, he will not even have enough time to advise his beloved ones. لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ Allah says that for every single people, there is a time appointed. Every single person, every nation, there is a time appointed. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ And when this time comes, of mort comes, there won't be any delay. There won't be any advance. There won't be any delay whatsoever. Mort comes at its time. If a person has a glass of water in his hand at the time of mort, and mort strikes, he will not even have enough time to drink this water. So many people, as they were drinking water, and the water is coming out. Why? That was not written as part of his rozi. Whatever rozi you were supposed to get is as long as you got life. Life is taken away. That's no permission to enter. All coming out of his mouth. The purpose of life, death may come at any time, so people need to be prepared. Living in large houses or competing with one another for wealth is not the purpose of life, but rather the purpose is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Simple lesson we have learned, we have heard this many times, but contemplate on the beautiful examples that were given and how beautifully Hazrat Maulana explained. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal and prepare for Mawt and the life after mawt, because we do not know when mawt will strike. And those three questions are simple. But inshallah, if we live our life according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then those three answers will give very easily and correctly. Inshallah, we will not only pass the exam of the qabr, but the examination of the akhirat also, even those questions will pass with flying colors. And then we'll enjoy that eternal paradise. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.